Great to be here. Appreciate the opportunity. The last time I had the opportunity of preaching in here for Shofar, I had hair. Now this time it seems to have gone, but it's wonderful to be here. A couple things. You know, being the dean and the academic head of Rhema Bible College has been a lot of fun. It's been exciting. And every once in a while, I get things from our students. And one of our students a couple of years ago brought me something from the job mail. A little newspaper advertising jobs. And I carry this around because I thought it's so good. And the advert reads this way: Church seeks a prophet. Qualifications, at least 3 years experience as a prophet in a registered church. Duties, set up and manage a prophetic office. Gives the closing date for this, where to mail your application to. And then on the bottom it says, should you not hear from us, by the closing date, consider your application unsuccessful. And I just thought that's great. Here, they're advertising for a prophet. And if you don't hear from us, then consider your application unsuccessful. But wait a minute, if you're a prophet, wouldn't you know whether it was going to be successful or not before you sent your application in? That goes right along with something that a friend of mine sent to me last week. And it was a marquee from a church. Well, the church that's in an old cinema, and so it's got this big marquee, you know, from some of you would remember in the 50s, you know, when they had the big marquees, or you've seen that. But this big marquee, and it said, the prophetic class for tonight has been canceled due to unforeseen circumstances. I thought, brilliant, the prophetic class for tonight has been canceled due to unforeseen circumstances. Hallelujah. Anyway, just, you know, some of the things that you run into within the ministry. You know, the truth is stranger than fiction. I'll tell you one more and then we'll get started. A friend of mine was at a church and there was a woman in the church that was extremely upset with her pastor. And so on the Sunday night, she decided she was going to prophesy against the church. Now, you've got to understand that in America, just like here, when you have sporting events, it's sponsored by a beer company normally. And so one of the beer companies in America is Anheuser-Busch, and one of their products is a beer called Michelob. It's just one of their products. And so this woman gets up on Sunday morning or Sunday evening to prophesy. And she said, and the Lord has written Michelob on the wall of the church. She meant to say Ichabod. The glory of God had departed. And she said, the Lord has written Michelob. You know what she'd been watching. Anyway, as I said, it's a great privilege to be back with you. We love Stellenbosch. My wife and I love coming down here as often as we can. And now that our daughter and son-in-law and grandkids are down here, it gives us more of an opportunity and excuse to come down. And so it's great to be here. I'd like my wife Martha to stand, if you would, just for a minute. Turn around, let everybody see how gorgeous and how beautiful she is. She is my beautiful bride. We've only been married a few years. It will be 40 years this December. And so, yes, you know, people can stay together for a long period of time. It does work. We just decided that divorce would never be an option. Murder maybe, but never divorce. So anyway, let's pray, because if otherwise I'll get in trouble. My wife tells me consistently the anointing is not on my jokes, but I still try. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you and praise you for an opportunity to be able to minister your word. And Father, I believe that you have something for us as a congregation this morning. that will cause us to be encouraged, that will cause us to be strengthened, will cause us to be able to walk out of the doors this morning and know that you are with us and enable us to live a successful life in you, in Jesus' name. And everybody in agreement said, amen. I'd like you to turn, if you would please, in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, the 17th chapter, Luke chapter 17. I'm using the archaic King James because I'm just so familiar with that and have preached with that for so long, and I know if it was good enough for the Apostle Paul, it's good enough for us. But in Luke chapter 17, I want to take a verse of Scripture out of its context and then put it into a context. Can I do that? Will you let me do it? I'm telling you in advance, I'm taking it out of its context. Because, you know, any text that you take out of its context becomes a pretext. You can make the Bible say anything you want. We know the Scripture tells us that Jesus went and hung himself. There's another Scripture that says, go and do thou likewise. But you don't want to put those together. Judas hung himself, go and do thou likewise. You're taking things out of the context, and it's important to understand the context that something is said in. But I want to take the verse out of its context, read it to you, and then bring it into the context so we understand what is being said. In Luke chapter 17, verse 5, it says, "And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith." The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Now, that a simple verse of Scripture, and I don't know, you've probably heard umpteen million messages on faith. I've heard more than my share of messages on faith. And while I'm going to be speaking on faith this morning a little bit, I'm going to be approaching it from a little bit different standpoint. Here, the apostles make a statement to Jesus, and they said, Lord, increase our faith. Now, when I come from a Jewish background, and so I look at things maybe a little bit differently than other people do. In fact, the students in the college tell me I look at things strangely. And they say that the problem with me is we're supposed to comfort the afflicted, and I'd rather come and afflict the comforted. Reading this verse of Scripture, when I read years ago, I read it, and it just stood out at me. Lord, increase our faith. So I began to think, what in the world were they asking Jesus to increase their faith for? They said, Lord, increase our faith. I began to think about that, and I said, now, wait a minute. Who are these individuals? These are the apostles, the 12, the disciples. And I began to think, in Matthew chapter 10, these are the same individuals that Jesus calls to himself. He gives them power against unclean spirits, Matthew 10, 1, against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and disease. And then in verse 5 of Matthew 10, he said, and these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go into the way of the Gentiles and unto the city, every city of Samaria, and enter, but to the cities of Samaria enter not. Verse 6, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you've received, freely give. Now, Jesus sent them out to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, to cast out devils, and to raise the dead. And guess what? They went out and they did that. We see later another place in Luke where they came back and said, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us in your name. They were all excited. Hallelujah. Look at this. We've gone out. We do this. We've healed the sick. We've raised the dead. We've cast out devils. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never raised anybody from the dead. Maybe spiritually dead, but moving right along. I've never raised anybody from the dead. Now here, these individuals that healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out devils, cleansed lepers, said, Lord, increase our faith. You and I, when we say increase our faith, we say, you know, Lord, please increase our faith so I can lay hands on somebody and they get healed of tonsillitis, you know. Hello. Okay, now these are individuals that had gone out and they healed the sick. They raised the dead. My goodness, why would they say, increase our faith? Are you tracking with me? Do you understand? Here are individuals that had been involved in doing these great, miraculous, and mighty works, and yet they said to Jesus, increase our faith. We need to increase. Now, also make a note for yourself that in order to increase something, you have to have it to begin with. You can't increase that which you don't have. If you don't have it and you get it, then you've got the start of it. But in order to increase something, you have to have it. So the apostles recognized that they did have something, that they had faith. And they said, Lord, we want you to increase it. Now, are you with me? Now, like I said, I look at things strange. I want to backtrack for just a minute. There in Matthew 10, he tells them to go out and preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I don't know about you, but I've heard all kinds of messages on preach the kingdom and seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so I've heard messages, yes, you've got to seek first the kingdom. You've got to spend hours in prayer, fasting. Prayer is good. Fasting is good. All right? But we all know people that fast, that pray, that study, that do all these things and think that that's seeking the kingdom of God and nothing ever gets added to them. Hello? Can anybody identify with that besides me? Thank you. A few honest people. All right, so the word kingdom, and this was such a shock to me when I was in university and taking a New Testament survey course, a textbook from a Baptist theologian, me being Pentecostal, reading this textbook, and he says the word kingdom, as is primarily used in the Gospels, means two things. Number one, it means the overall area of God's dominion, but primarily it means the activity of reigning. So when you see Jesus talking about the kingdom, when he said, go out and preach the kingdom, he's saying, go out and preach the activity of reigning. And he said the activity of reigning came down to three things: bringing deliverance, conferring blessing, and exercising authority. So if I'm not bringing deliverance, if I'm not conferring blessing, if I'm not exercising authority, it's not kingdom. Hello. If I don't bring blessing, if I don't confer blessing, exercise authority, those things, I am not preaching the kingdom. I'm not seeking first the kingdom. See, seeking first the kingdom is about doing and impacting others. Not just learning and growing, but it's learning and growing so I can do. If I don't do, it's not kingdom. Praying, necessary. Fasting, necessary. Study, necessary. But it's necessary so we're built up so we can do. If we don't do, what have we been spending time for? Hello. Sure got quiet in this Episcopalian church. So here, the apostles back in Luke 17 say to Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. We have faith. But we need you to help us to increase that which we have. Of course, now, you know, if I were to talk to some individuals within the church world and say, Lord, can you help me, brother, sister? I need to increase my faith. They'd say to me, well, don't you know? Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Yes, amen. If you just hear, you'll have faith. Moving right along. See, unfortunately, I'm the dean of a Bible college, so I have a tendency of getting into what certain things really mean. And the word hear does not just mean to hear with your ear. The word hear carries three connotations: to repeat, retain, and act. If I cannot repeat it, if I have not retained it, if I cannot act on it, I have not heard. So when people say faith comes by hearing, what happens is it comes. What they're doing is they're hearing the word of God, and faith cometh, but then it goeth. It cometh and goeth and cometh and goeth. And so you got these people, yes, hallelujah, faith has come, but it's gone. I preached in a church years ago in California, many years ago. And I said, oh, we're a strong church. And we hear the word of it. We're full of faith. They were full of something. But anyway, when they picked me up at the airport, the pastor and the church secretary each grabbed one of my hands and said, let's pray. And have you ever been to an auction? Have you ever seen an auction? Anybody? They prayed so fast, I thought it was on auction. I had no idea what they were saying, you know. But I got it. They were praying for divine protection from the airport to the hotel. We got to the hotel. I put my luggage in the room. They said, would you like to go to eat? I said, look at me. You have to ask the question. So we went and we got in the car, and they prayed for divine protection from the hotel to the restaurant, then from the restaurant back to the hotel. Every time we went someplace, they were praying for divine protection. I thought, have you never read that the angel of the Lord goes before you to make the way straight for you? They were the most paranoid group of people I'd ever met. And then they were saying, oh, it's so wonderful. Now, this will tell you how long ago it was. They said, we've just got the newest thing, a continuous loop tape player. So it continues. And the pastor said, and so we put on scripture all night long because faith keeps, the word keeps coming, and faith comes. I'm going, okay. And then the individual said, and we also got one of these new tape recorders that you can adjust the speed. So we play it a little faster so we can hear twice as much in half the time. I said, yes, and I know what it sounds like. Now, unfortunately, faith for them was coming, but it was going because they never did. They didn't understand that it's not just enough to come, because if you don't do something, it goes. See, so I coined a little phrase, and I give you permission to use it. Faith comes by hearing, but remains by doing. Faith comes by hearing, but it remains by doing. Very simple. Hear, repeat, retain, and act. If I can't repeat it, if I have not retained it, if I can't act on it, I haven't heard. I'll give you a great example of this. My wife. My wife is brilliant. She's put up with me for almost 40 years. That is miraculous. In and of itself, you know, when we first met, we were a blind date, and God has never opened her eyes, and I thank God for that. All right, but I'm a typical husband. You married women will understand this. You men will understand it also. I'm a typical husband. I have the ability to hear what my wife says, but not hear it. And so one afternoon, my wife asked me to go to the hypermarket for her. And I said, okay. And she gave me a list of five things that she needed me to pick up for her. And she looked at me and she saw the look on my face and she said, "You didn't hear what I said." Now, I said, "Yes, I did." And I was able to repeat everything she wanted me to get. I repeated it. She said, "Well, I guess you heard me." Now, I got in the car. Took me 5 minutes to drive to the market. I got to the market. I got the first item in the shopping cart. Now, this is before the days of cell phones. I mean, these days, if you had a cell phone, it was one of these big, huge boxes, you know. So we didn't carry cell phones. So I had to leave that in the cart, go to the outside payphone, call her on the phone with my pen and paper, say, "Now, sweetheart, what is it you wanted me to get?" I don't know if anybody's ever been there, but you see, I had repeated what she said. And she said, "Well, I guess you heard me." But I had not retained it, so I was not able to act on it. Until you can repeat, retain, and act, you haven't heard. So many people think that, "Oh, man, faith is coming because I'm hearing." If you're not doing, you're deceiving yourselves. You still with me? So here, the apostle said to Jesus, "Increase our faith." We need you to increase that which we already have. Increase our faith. And so, as I said, here are these guys, they raise the dead. I can't imagine raising the dead and then turning around saying, "Lord, I need more faith." Come on, you know. But they said, "Lord, increase our faith." Heal the sick, piece of cake. Raise the dead, everyday occurrence. Cleanse lepers, no problem. But what made them say, "Increase our faith"? Let's go back up to verse 1. Now that I've taken it for you out of the context, let me put it into the context. Is that all right? And I'm glad we have the young lady in the front that will keep me apprised of time, because I didn't bother to look at my watch when I first got started, and I'm just having too much fun. I promise I won't speak too long, but neither will I speak too short. All right. In verse 1 of Luke chapter 17, "Then he said unto the disciples, It's impossible but that offenses will come, but woe to them through whom they come." Now, I wish Jesus never would have said that. He said, "It's impossible to get through life without being offended." He said, "Offenses will come." It's not the fact that they come, it's what are you going to do with the offense when it comes. He says, "It's impossible, but that offenses will come." You're going to go through life being offended. If you get through this life without being offended, I don't know how, because the minute you have to interact with someone else, offenses will come. Hello. Someplace along the line, someone will say something or do something to you that offends you. As a friend of mine says, get over it. He said, "It's impossible but that offenses will come." Now, I realize that offenses do come. It says, "It's better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck," in verse 2, "and that he was cast into the sea, then he should offend one of these little ones." And we say, yes, amen. It's impossible that offenses will come, but it's better for the person to be drowned than they should offend me. Thank you. You know, I'm just verbalizing what you think. You know, you offended me. It's better for you to drown. In fact, I wish you would. It's better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he was cast into the sea than he should offend one of these little ones. And we go, yes, amen. But then the very next verse, Jesus said, take heed to yourselves. Now, talking about offenses. And they said, it's better to be drowned than to offend one of these little ones. And we want to say, yes, amen, that person that offended me. But then Jesus said, take heed to yourself. Don't worry about how someone else will offend you. Take heed to yourself so you don't offend. All right? So take heed to yourself. That kind of changes a little, at least for me. I'm not going to worry about how you offend me. I need to make sure I don't offend you, because we do wind up offending people. Not meaning to, but we do. When I was the associate pastor of a church in New Jersey, we had a pastor's conference every year where we brought in pastors from all over the world. The last year I was there, we brought in pastors from 120 different nations. And we would fly them in, pay their airfare, put them in a five-star hotel, and they would be there for a week, pay for all their meals, and it was our way of impacting nations and getting pastors that we felt had great potential to impact their nation. And worked great. But anyway, that was my part of my responsibility. So when it came time, the week before the conference started, even my wife had to make an appointment to see me. I'm on the phone. I'm dealing with U.S. embassies. The worst people to deal with is the U.S. embassy, their staff, trying to get visas for people to come in for the conference, I was midweek service Thursday night, and here I am. I've been in the office since 8 o'clock in the morning. Our evening service starts at 7:30. So 7:15, I walk from my office into the main church building for service. An individual who is supposed to be one of our elders, I won't even go there, one of the elders said hello to me, and I did not hear him. Now, I know none of you have been so busy that you haven't heard people. I wasn't ignoring him. I just got off the phone with embassy officials in a country, and we finally got things arranged for this pastor to come in, and had to change his ticket so he could hurry to the airport to, conference starts on Sunday, it's Thursday. I walk in, I'm going into the service, because I need to get picked up. I need to get into praise and worship. My head is someplace else. And I walk by somebody, they said hello to me. So this individual decided, he happened to be black, I'm white. So he decided that I was a racist. Because one time, you all got quiet on me. One time I didn't say hello. Once. One time. And boy, what a stir it caused until we finally dealt with it. He was going around saying, well, Pastor Mike, he's just, finally we found out, sat down with him, and when we finished everything, he apologized and repented. See, but offenses will come. Offenses will come. Sometimes, we just don't. Thank you, dear. Of course, it has to be pink, Offenses will come. All right, and. That's a part of life, but how are you going to deal with it? And Jesus said, take heed to yourself. He said, you're going to be offended. You can't get through life without being offended. The offense is going to come. But don't be concerned. Take heed to yourself. Don't worry about how someone else offends you. You begin to deal with how you are. Make sure that you don't offend people. You know, I would much rather be the type of individual that is concerning himself that I don't want to be offensive. You know, I take a shower every day and, you know, I don't want to be offensive. I don't want to be offensive. I'm not going to worry about offenses coming to me. Are you still with me? You haven't gone home yet, all right? And it's too early for lunch, so we're fine. All right, so he said, take heed to yourselves. But then he said, if your brother trespass against you. Oh, now we're getting into it. If your brother trespass against you, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. You see, we have no problem with the world offending us because we expect them to. We don't expect anything other of them because they're the world. If the world acts like the world, it's the world. It's when I go to a car dealership, I don't expect the salesman to be necessarily completely honest with me. And even if the salesman tries to be honest with the finance people, tell you one thing, and then when it comes back from the bank, have you noticed it's different than what they told you? We just bought a car, and it was great. And they said, it's this much, you know, my wife, I let her do all the dealing when it comes to vehicles and stuff because she gets things at prices I can't believe. I am embarrassed when she says I want it for this and think there is no way and she gets it. So, you know, I just let her do that. But, you know, we were looking at this one car and it was only so much. I thought, wow, how did they knocked so much off? But what they didn't tell you, it's only if you get it financed through this one bank. And that bank was turning down everybody. So then when it came to the car, moving right along, it came back, no, what we get you financed through this bank, but the price of the car is this. But wait a minute, that's only if it's with XYZ Bank. Moving right along. Then I get upset a little bit, but you figure that's what the world does. If someone in the world offends me, hey, that's the world. But when my brother or sister offends me, it becomes something different. Are you with me? I can handle the world offending me because they're supposed to, it's the world. But my brother, my sister in Christ, they've done something to offend me. How can they do that to me? They're a believer. Have you ever hired someone to do something because they're a believer? Anybody? Have you ever been sorry that you hired someone who we had, coming from America, we're used to big, we're used to top loading washing machines. Here you have the front loaders because it goes under the counter. In America, you know, we have big spaces, so it's always the top load. My wife gets here, gets a 7.5 kg washing machine, but it's a top loader. So in this house that we're renting, we had to put it outside because there was no room, you know, and so there's a little outside portico, porch, and so we put it outside. So we just needed a hole about that big for a pipe to go through for the water. So we hired a Christian from the church to make a little hole. You take a drill, you know, and drill the hole for the pipe to go through. No big deal. And he comes out to do it, and it's right before the holidays, and he comes out and he brings a chisel and a small sledgehammer, bam, bam, and he puts a hole in a brick about like that. Hallelujah. I needed something like that. We showed him, you know. And then he doesn't finish because he was going to fix it up and everything. But it's the holidays. Can you please pay me in full? I'll fix it after the holidays. That's when Mark and Linda were still dating. It never got fixed. Moving right along. You know, we don't expect the brethren to offend us, but they do. So Jesus said, take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespass against you, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. Now, I don't know about you, but boy, when I first read that, I thought, great, rebuke him. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Oh, Jesus said, I can rebuke my brother. Hallelujah. The only problem, it says, rebuke him. And if he repent, recognize the error of his ways and turns around and goes the other way. If he repent, ouch. Because that just tells me my rebuke can't be to get rid of my anger. If I raise my voice to you, if I shout at you, do you listen to what I have to say? No. Psychological fact. Defense mechanism. The minute someone begins to raise their voice to you, you automatically take it as someone attacking you, and mentally you put up a defense and you don't hear a word that they say. Because it's not correction, it's an attack. So if I've got to rebuke you to get you to repent, that means I've got to present it to you in such a way that you can recognize it, understand it, and change your mind and change your attitude. It's not about getting rid of my anger. It's about helping you. Moving right along. And rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he trespasses against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turns again and says, I repent, you shall forgive him. So if the individual, if your brother or sister consistently does it, you consistently show them the error without getting mad, without getting rid of your anger. And so when Jesus said that to the apostles, the apostles' response was, Lord, increase our faith. Heal the sick, not a problem. Raise the dead, everyday occurrence. Forgive my brother, increase my faith. Healing, sure. Forgiveness, wait a minute. Increase our faith to be able to forgive. So now, Jesus' response in verse 6, he said, if you had faith the grain of a mustard seed, you say to the sycamore tree, be plucked up by the root, be planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Wait a minute. What's he doing talking about trees? Is that the way you get rid of a tree in your backyard? Speak to it. No, if that's how you get rid of a tree in your backyard, you'll be speaking to it until you're old and gray and the tree will still be there. You chop it down, pull out the roots, and it's gone. So what Jesus, he's outside. They said, Lord, increase our faith. I don't know how many times I've heard it when people said, if you had faith of the grain, as a grain of mustard seed, saying, well, you know, Jesus was rebuking them and said, if you just had faith, the grain of a mustard seed. Like when they're in the middle of a storm and they wake him up and he said, how is it you have no faith? And so we read this and say, if you had faith, and say, Jesus is rebuking him. They said, increase our faith. If you just had faith, the grain of a mustard seed. Wait. Wait. Did they heal the sick? Yes. Did they cast out devils? Yes. Did they cleanse lepers? Yes. Did they raise the dead? Yes. They had faith. And so they said, we need to be able to forgive our brethren. So they said, Lord, increase our faith. How do we increase that which we have? Remember I said earlier, you can only increase that which you already have. So when Jesus said, if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, he's not saying you don't have faith. Jesus is using an illustration to demonstrate how you do what they're asking for. He said, if you had faith the grain of a mustard seed, you'd say to this tree, be plucked up by the root and be planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But he said, but which of you, in verse 7, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he's come from the field, go and sit down and eat? And will he not rather say to him, make ready wherewith I can eat, and gird yourself and serve me till I've eaten and drunken, and afterwards you can eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he does the thing that was commanded to him? I don't think so. So likewise you, when you've done all those things which are commanded to you, you should say, we're unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Jesus is simply saying, they said, Lord, how do we increase our faith in order to be able to forgive? Jesus' response could have been a Nike commercial. Just do it. Mark 11. Turn there very quickly and we'll bring this to a close. I could go on and on and on, but we'll spare you the torture. Mark 11, verse 25. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father which is in heaven may forgive you your trespass. He said, when you stand praying, forgive. I don't know about you, but when he says, when you stand praying, forgive, that means, you know, it's not something that's going to take you a long time to do. When he said, when you stand praying, forgive, forgiveness becomes an act of your will. It's a determination. They said, Lord, increase our faith. He said, when you stand praying, forgive. If you had faith the grain of a mustard seed, you'd say, you would do something. The way you increase is by changing your vocabulary and just doing it. You don't thank the servant for feeding you. Just doing what it's supposed to do. You see, they said, increase that which we already have. When you stand praying, forgive. It's an act of your will. I choose to forgive. It's an act of my will. And then in choosing to forgive, I make an act of my will, but then I change the way I speak. I don't tell everybody what so-and-so did to offend me any longer. See, some of us are carrying baggage with us that we don't need to have. We just need to forgive. Release them. It's an act of your will. But they didn't ask me. I don't care about them. Jesus said, take heed to yourself. Take heed to yourself. When I don't forgive, when I hold on to it, the only person that is in bondage is me, not the individual. I'm the one that's taken captive. I take myself captive by my lack of forgiveness. And we don't forgive because we don't feel like it. It has nothing to do with feeling. It's an act of your will. You make a decision. And then from that point on, you change the way you speak. When the feeling begins to rise up, you say, no, no, no. On such a date, you know, I forgave that individual. As far as I'm concerned, I have forgiven them. Lord, I thank you that you have forgiven them. I don't hold it against them, and I ask you not to hold it against them. And then when someone comes up and says, I can't believe that so-and-so did that to you. Well, you know what? I have forgiven them. I have released them. As far as I'm concerned, it's as if it hadn't happened. You see, because that keeps me free. It's an act of my will. It's an act of faith. Just doing it. I choose to forgive. I don't feel like it, but if I choose to forgive and begin to speak that way, then one day you'll wake up and realize that that pain or that hurt isn't there anymore. Yeah, they did it, but it doesn't bother you. See, because when they have done something to offend you, Jesus said it's better that a millstone were hung about their neck and they were drowned. When they choose to offend you, you want to forgive them. You don't want that held against them, because when you forgive them, you back off and now you allow God to deal with them. And it's a whole lot easier when God deals with them than with you, when you deal with them. As I said, my wife and I will be married 40 years this December. I've been in ministry 41 years, 40 years of it with my wife. And we have watched in 40 years everybody who has ever stood against us or come against us. If we operate in love, we operate in forgiveness by an act of our will. And we've had some doozies to deal with over the years. But we've watched that we're still here, and a lot of those people either have changed or they're no longer in ministry. Hello. We've chosen to forgive. Do I still remember some of those things? Yeah, they're great teaching aids. Now, when that happened, it wasn't a teaching aid. It was, you know. But, you know, just walking through it and choosing to walk in forgiveness by an act of our will when we didn't feel it. Last illustration, and I'll end with this. My wife and I had been asked to be part of a Jewish outreach ministry. And we were. It was great. It was wonderful. The two senior men that were running the ministry were both Gentiles. You know, and they had a heart for Jewish ministry. It's great, wonderful. See, but I am. I'm Jewish. I'll stop in a minute. I'm going to try. These little signs. And I don't have to do anything to be Jewish, because I are, you know. And so here, an outreach to the Jews. So we want you to come. So yes, we go out there. They promised us the moon. You know, don't worry. You don't have to do maintenance. You're going to be over the maintenance department. Part of your pastoral duties is you'll make sure that the maintenance individual keeps their schedule. The only thing is they fired the maintenance person right before we got there. So we're over the maintenance, but there is no maintenance person. They're not going to hire anybody. So guess what? We get to clean the toilets again. You know, wonderful things. Anyway. The one thing is that they said, I got to grow a beard. Hallelujah. My wife didn't like it, but I liked it. You know, I grew my beard, and boy, did I look Jewish. Now, what really bothered them is we had a Friday night service, a typical conservative Jewish service. We had an Ark of the Covenant, we had a Torah, and so I'm wearing my tallis and my yarmulke. They're wearing tallises and yarmulkes. They don't have a right to, I do. They weren't bar mitzvahed, I was. They're trying to be what I already am. And they're trying and trying and trying. And some of the people that would come would say, oh, isn't it sweet? Look at how hard they're trying to be Jewish. Bless their hearts. I didn't have to. I was. It bothered them. And it was interesting. It's the only place my wife and I have been on staff where every month my salary went down. It was wonderful. And so finally we decided, you know, that's enough. It's time to leave. And we left because there was becoming a division in the church. Listen to me. We left because there was a division in the church. We were preaching faith and healing was happening. We'd preach healing, and the senior man would preach against healing. And we had some miracles happen, and he preached the next week against miracles. So it's causing a division. So what did we do? We chose to resign. Are you with me? Because it wasn't our church. We didn't start it. I went there to help. And if my being there is causing a division, I mean, they would come up and say, can you pray for me? And I'd say, have the senior pastor pray for you. Oh, no, we want to be healed. You pray for us in front of him. That's undermining his position. So we just, you know, we chose to leave. And it's interesting, you know, God provided for us. It was wonderful. But we got paid once a month. But we got paid at the end of the month for the month that we'd already worked. We didn't get paid in advance. It was in arrears. You work and then, you know, fine, no problem. Payday. We're getting ready, and I know we're going to resign. Go to get my check, and the Spirit of God says, don't say anything. Take your check and cash it at the bank. So I said, okay. So I cashed it and then put the cash in my account. Come in the next day and say, here is our two-week notice. We're going in. And I was still pursuing my education. And I said, you know, it's too far for me to drive to the university every day. You know, I just need to do this. And so we're leaving. Great. Wonderful. That's on a Thursday. Friday, he tried to put a stop payment on the check. But God had already told me, cash, so I cashed it and put it in. And that weekend, we moved all of our stuff to where we're going to be. And, you know, we still had two weeks left, and we show up on Sunday morning. And he said, what are you doing here? You're a disgrace. And just ripped me apart. And then said, be back here this afternoon. I want to talk to you. So, like, good obedient people, we came back. And as we got ready to go in, the Spirit of God said, as a sheep before shears is dumb, so he opens on his mouth. The Spirit of God said, don't open your mouth. We went in there, and he ripped us to pieces. Everything that he did, he accused us of, and you know, bless his heart. And so we left, and then he says, and you robbed me. You stole from the church. What do we steal? You cashed your salary check. You stole that from us. But how did I steal it from you if I've already worked for it? Give me my money back. I had a right to tell him, take a long walk off a short pier. I wanted to tell him that. I wrestled with the fact, it's not your money, it's mine. You know what I did? I gave him the money back. You know why? So he could never point a finger at me and said, you did thus and so. He's got to live with his conscience. Within a year, he was out of ministry. He's back in ministry today, a good guy. Just some things he had to deal with. But you see, I could have held on to that and followed them. It's not worth it. Offenses are going to come. When you stand praying, forgive. If I were to see him today, I'd go up and give him a big hug and thank him because, you know, even though we went through things, it was a great learning experience and great for my personal growth. And great for me learning that God takes care of me regardless of what others do. But I got to keep my attitude right. The apostle said, Lord, you want us to forgive our brother? Increase our faith. Help. Increase our faith. Jesus said, listen, you've already got faith. All you need to do is just do it. It's an act of your will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you for the opportunity that I've had this morning to minister your word. And Father, I believe that it has brought life. I believe that it brought revelation to us. And Father, I pray for these your people, you love them so much that Jesus, you came and died for them, that they might have eternal life. You took the ultimate offenses upon you and on the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If you could say that, Lord, I thank you that I can say, Father, forgive those that offend me because they don't know what they do. If they knew what they were doing, they wouldn't do it. Father, I pray for these your people, that there are some here that have been holding on to offenses. There are things that have kept them in bondage. I pray that they release it right now in the name of Jesus, that through an act of their will, they say, I choose to forgive this one. I choose to forgive the individual that has done this. Lord, I know that people do things and sometimes we have to suffer some of the consequences. And we can't change that, but we can change what we do, how we respond, and what we're going to do in the future. So, Father, I pray that you would minister to them, that you would set them free by your Holy Spirit, supernaturally, and bring liberty to their hearts. Now, if there's anybody here, with every eye still closed, head bowed, if you never made Jesus the Lord of your life, maybe you come, you're a visitor this morning, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life and you'd like to, just raise your hand. But the upraised hand, say, Brother Mike, pray for me. I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I want to pray with you. Is there anyone here? Anyone here? You want to make Jesus the Lord of your life? Anyone? Hallelujah. All right. The last thing I just want to do, if what I said impacted you and you want to choose to forgive with every head still bowed, every eye closed, I just want you to raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I'm choosing this day to forgive. Is there anyone? Just raise your hand. Yes, I see those hands. Yes, I see those hands. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for those that have raised their hands. I thank you that they are free. They are free from the pain and the hurt of that thing. Father, thank you that they've chosen to forgive. And because they've chosen to forgive, they're free. And Father, that which has been has seemingly been withheld from them will begin to flow. Your blessings will flow. Health and healing will flow. Finances will flow. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Doctor. Let's all stand as we just maybe end off with a worship song. But maybe there's some, I just sense there's some of us that actually also need to forgive ourselves. You need to forgive yourself for doing certain things, making the wrong choices and saying, well, you know, if I just did it differently. And we're going to just pray God's blessing over you today. But if you feel like there's really something in your heart that you need to deal with, or you need somebody to pray with you, I really want to encourage you to come to the front, and we would love to pray with you. Sometimes we just need somebody to hug us. Sometimes we just need another voice because of deep pain inside of us. And it's really, you know, if we want to have a relationship, we're going to be challenged to just let go of some of those things. Sometimes in church, especially, you know, when people say stuff about us or things. But as we just bring our hearts to God, and as the scriptures have said, let's stand today and let's forgive. And if you need prayer for healing, or you maybe there's somebody in your family, or you need deliverance today, that same Jesus is here, the same Holy Spirit, and we'd love to pray with you. So as we're going to finish the service with worshiping God, why don't you just come to the front, and we'd love to pray with you. We'd love just to agree with you. Maybe issues in our hearts. So let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your word that never returns void to you. We thank you for the freedom of your word. We thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. And Lord, this morning we pray, increase our faith. Increase, Lord, the ability to trust you. And we thank you for the release. We look to the cross this morning, and we thank you for that freedom of what you prayed over on the cross, Lord, for us and over us. The ability to walk free from any prison, any oppression, any depression. And this morning, Lord, we stand before you as children and not as slaves. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. So if you'd love us to pray with you, won't you come to the front as we're going to just sing one more song for you.